And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, this month we're featuring lying here on Power of Prophecy. That's right. But we're exposing those who lie to us. And you know, I'm going to have to tell you right now, I'm sick and tired of the liars. I was listening to my good friend Alex Jones on his program on KLBJ and around the nation just this last week. And he said something that really struck my heart. He said he does not want to live in a world full of liars. And I thought about that. Who of us does? Well, evidently they do, because they have immersed themselves in lies. Today we're going to expose some of these lies, and particularly, and this is one thing I'm really angry about, is the most horrendous of lies recently when they, and we're going to find out who they are, murdered Corporal Pat Tillman. Of course, there was the travesty of young Private Jessica Lynch and all the psychodrama and theater surrounding that. It seems that our nation has become a nation of grand theater. I believe it was Shakespeare who said that each of us, we have a certain amount of time to walk on stage and do our little part. The whole world is like a global drama, he said, a theater. But what we have now are puppet masters, and we have become like marionettes, and they present to us images that have nothing to do with reality. In my book, Circle of Intrigue, I predicted this coming age when the two key words would be pageantry and illusion. War is pageantry. It's pageantry. Unfortunately, it's deadly realism as well. There's a movie out a few years back. Jack Nicholson starred in it. Tom Cruise starred in it. It's called A Few Good Men. And, you know, that's, of course, the old Marine slogan. It was about a Marine colonel and a corrupt situation in which one of his own men was murdered by fellow soldiers. They were members of an elite unit, and it was claimed to be, oh, just a big accident, just a horrible affair that occurred, but it was murder. And Tom Cruise played the part of an attorney, a young staff judge advocate, and he had Jack Nicholson, this Marine colonel, on the stand, and he demanded to know the truth. And Nicholson responded with a question that I'm going to be asking you today, and my guest, Alex Jones, because he's with us here listening, and most of the program, we're just going to turn it over to Alex, because he really has some inside information about the Pat Tillman case, Jessica Lynch, and many other travesties of justice, basically lies of the Bush administration, but more than the Bush administration. There's a horrible illuministic network of liars, and they've turned the whole world upside down. But let's right now visit, and you'll hear Tom Cruise as the young lawyer grilling Jack Nicholson as the embittered Marine colonel on the stand. Listen to what they have to say.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
I want answers. I want truth. Nicholson says you can't handle the truth. Alex Jones, what about that? Can America today handle the truth?
Well, we've been bred on illusion and fairy tales and Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy from birth, and a lot of people think that they can handle the truth. A lot of people want hit with the truth. I don't know, you've, before on air, talked about that famous quote that the famous British statesman put out, Churchill, about a lot of people get hit by the truth, to paraphrase, and then they get knocked over in the ditch, they just get up and dust themselves off. It's the rare person that gets hit by the truth, and then it changes their life, to paraphrase Churchill. But I think people can handle the truth, and lies just build on top of lies. until the society is a wonderland and everything disintegrates. I mean, it is a lie that Federal Reserve notes are money. They're backed up on fiat nothingness, and now the dollar is plunging in value, and the housing market's in trouble, and the economy is in deep trouble, and the second biggest lender in the country for mortgages just went belly up and just went bankrupt a few days ago. And so the bigger the lies, the more harsh it is when you finally crash land. And that's what happens to empires and societies. The elite also believe their own lies is what's so dangerous about this in history. And now we're taking many of us down with them.
Well, you know, that's very scriptural. The Bible says in the last days, men will go about deceiving and being deceived. Now there was this case just recently where more and more we're finding out about Pat Tillman. I'm sure there are many listeners, Alex, who don't know about the Pat Tillman case. Now, before we get into that, I'm sorry I didn't introduce you properly. I think you're so well known today. You know, you're famous in the circles that I go around, but you're infamous in the circles of the Illuminati overlords. You know what I mean? You know, you have two sides of your personality depending on the way people perceive you. I perceive you as a great American patriot, and you are my wonderful friend. Of course, you're on national radio with your radio program, your fantastic websites that I recommend to everybody, Infowars.com. Then there's PrisonPlanet.com. And Alex, later on, we're going to be offering your updated, revised, I say revised, I mean, you know, expanded video Terrorstorm to our audience, because Terrorstorm really unmasks many of these incredible lies throughout the epochs of history. I mean, this is where we're at today, and now these people have grown so brash, so arrogant, that they don't really work very hard to cover up their lies, do they?
No, they don't. In fact, Terrorstorm proves that 9/11 was a complete inside job, and they've built their entire police state on that, and their whole hegemonic world government. 9/11 is an excuse for that. It also proves that 7/7 was a black op run by British intelligence, and we've added 17 minutes to the film, so it's well over 2 hours long with 67 minutes of extras. But speaking of them not even hiding lies anymore, just throwing it in our face, in 2001, military-grade foot and mouth was released from a bioweapons lab porting down in England, and they killed millions of sheep and millions of cows and ruined many of the farmers there in England and took a lot of their property. And, of course, millions of those animals weren't even infected. The government just did it. Well, now they're admitting it's been released again, this time military grade, and they admit out of the gates, last time it took months to come out, that it was from porting down. This time, headline, foot and mouth virus released from government lab, case mirrors 2001 outbreak, could signal new wave of it. Agro-terrorism against farming community, and of course the BBC and the Russian news agency ITAR-TASS is reporting that the release of the virus came after an international drill last month that was held in Perbright Laboratory, in which live virus was used. Real attacks are always shadowed by drills to provide culpable deniability.
Mm.
And on 9/11, they did drills of flying hijacked jets in the World Trade Center and Pentagon at the exact same time, so NORAD would stand down thinking it was a drill and confuse the fighters. They had hundreds of other blips up there superimposed over them. Of course, on 7/7, they ran a drill with the exact same trains and bus being bombed at the exact same time. That's one out of something trapped a gillion. Basically, it's impossible. We even had an actuary done on that, and it was billions and billions of times all the grains of sand in all the world. So it's a number that then has 43 zeros after it. So it's pretty darn amazing. And so more and more, it's as if the elite have gone crazy because they're just revealing themselves. It's like the king has no clothes, and more people are seeing it. There's two different groups of people. Either people are waking up even more than ever on one side, but then at the same time, a whole other group of society, which unfortunately is the majority, but it's a slight majority, are just getting deeper into delusion. I mean, it's now getting so obvious and so comical that it just staggers belief. I mean, it's like this Adam Gadon guy whose dad was the head of the ADL and who was part of the Jewish Defense League. And then he quits and goes and creates these videos on cue whenever Homeland Security says we're about to be hit by terror. Adam Gadon pops up and says Al-Qaeda is going to get America, dovetailing. And then they've done, even Wired Magazine's done scans of the video and of the watermarks of Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, versus the Intel Center's watermark that's run by a former CIA commander. And then it turns out that they're producing the video, or that they, that those layers were put down at the same time. And then, of course, Israel's been caught with fake terror groups all over the world. The Jerusalem Post, Haaretz, admit that they created, quote, fake al-Qaeda groups to stage attacks in Israel. And just 2 months ago, the Jerusalem Post reported that the 1976 hostage crisis with Idi Amin was engineered by Mossad and staged. And to make it look more real, they even sent in some Israeli commandos who didn't know and killed them just to make it look real. Now, that's Jerusalem Post. That's not me. So governments are constantly doing that. But you talk about a lie. Here's Adam Gadon, this known Mossad asset, posing as the American al-Qaeda so they can talk to us in English.
Yeah, you know, they want to scare us. Here's this American Ayatollah. He's some in some shadowy underground network. In fact, I was watching him on TV today, and, oh, he was just rambling on and on. You know, Osama bin Laden doesn't seem to have the power to create fear and to threaten us. So now they've got an American al-Qaeda Ayatollah. And as you said, the guy has been connected with the Jewish Defense League. He's an Israeli Mossad asset. So you see who's trying to frighten us. And, of course, I don't have any doubt.
It's the same thing with Oklahoma City. I remember Colonel Craig Roberts, Army Intelligence, who was also a police officer, helicopter police officer for Tulsa. He was assigned, he's already a best-selling author, in Intrigue, you know, nonfiction books. And so the FBI asked him to come help, and he found out that it was an inside job, Oklahoma City, in 95, right away. And he's been telling me for 10 years on air that the ADL, through the Southern Poverty Law Center, was running Elohim City and Andreas Strassmeyer. Now it was actually the government planning the bombs, but they were creating with McVeigh, you know, this whole history that it's white supremacists, then binding that to the militia, and then conservative groups, and they even tried to blame talk radio. Well, now, thanks to the lawsuit by this lawyer whose brother was killed in all of this, Jesse Trinidad, this has been on mainstream news now, they got the documents through FOIA request. One was blacked out. Then he sued separately, got another one from another agency that was blacked out. But the two different documents have been blacked out differently, so he was able to get the full text. And guess who was basically running the entire op? Southern Poverty Law Center.
Wow. Wow.
So talk about lies, and there's shades of this. Remember how they took the Ku Klux Klan's headquarters? Well, it turned out that the leader of that was really Southern Poverty Law. They were staging that. There was a famous case up in Idaho where they were trying to pass free speech banning laws, hate speech laws, and they had these Nazis out doing Heil Hitler, Heil Hitler, about 8 years ago, and it turned out the P.O. box went back to the rabbi. That got blown. Turned out the American Hitler, who ran around hailing Hitler for 15 years, turned out was a Jewish man and just staged all that. And then, of course, just came out in, which paper was it? It was in the big daily paper there in Orlando 6 months ago, 5 months ago, that they had this big Nazi rally and it was being run by the FBI. It isn't real. I mean, I've gone out to these Klan and Ku Klux Klan events here in Austin, and you can see it. It's a big joke. You know, these guys, it's just, but my point is the lying, the scripting is at a level unbelievable. But when you have both the House and Senate heads of the Armed Services Committees, and neither one of them, this was the incoming ones this year, when asked, don't know the difference between a Shiite and a Sunni, the two major branches of Islam, then of course the general public doesn't know that, or much less where Syria, Iran, or Iraq are on a map, so they can get away with this.
They do. Now, here is, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this. Now we're getting a little theoretical and abstract here, Alex, but it seems to me more and more people, as you have noted, are finding out, are discovering to their horror that everything is pageantry, illusion, total theater. But we're talking about real blood. We're talking about people dying. We're talking about thousands, hundreds of thousands of Iraqis, and already we're moving up past, I don't know how many it is now, near the 4,000 perhaps, what they admit even, Americans killed in Iraq, 3,000 slain in 9/11. So we're talking about real horror here amidst all this theater. But as you said, it's true the dumbed-down masses, the gullible masses, are unaware of this. But have they ever mattered anyway? Now, there are more people finding out about it. Not just in, you know, our, let's say, the right wing, but over in the left side, too. Because as you also noted, there's really no left and right. So now we have this growing, incredible number of people who know of these things. Now, it's also true that many in the Senate and the House are just idiots. No doubt about that. But there is a clique, and I think that includes the Gingriches and the Pelosis and the Reeds. And,
yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, and these people who do...
At any chairman level, it's total New World Order. It's all stage at that level.
Yeah, Conyers and the whole mess of them. So they all know this is pure baloney. But of course, they're feathering their nest by staying as part of this system. Now, when is it going to all come to a head, or will it? Because it seems the media, I mean, they know, at least some in the media know about Elohim City in Oklahoma City. They know about 9/11. But they're, you know, what can they do? They're controlled by the same Illuminati. You know, sources, the CIA, the Mossad, and so forth. The ADL has such tremendous influence, AIPAC. We can go on and on. The World Jewish Congress, all these groups. So, it's always been said that the majority never really mean anything anyway. They're just fodder.
It's that well-motivated minority on either side, good or evil, that are going to decide the contest. And when the minority of informed good people lays down, you get tyranny. It was 2% start of the Revolutionary War here in the colonies, and it was about 5% that won it. And I guarantee you, we got more than 5% that know exactly what's going on. I'd say 10% have got a good handle, 20% have got a decent handle, 30-40% know there's a problem, you know, up to 50% having a semi-idea. But then the other half, literally, you can show them. I've been on air, Tex, covering Presidential Decision Directive 51, and maybe later if we talk about Pat Tillman and a few other big lies, we can get into that maybe in the second half. But it says in clear English, it says, for any reason, any emergency, financial, anywhere in the world, the president is a dictator, Congress has no authority, the president is king. Now, this is open dictatorship. This is everything you heard about in the history books, Stalin, Hitler, Mao, this is Genghis Khan, this is Caesar crossing the Rubicon. I mean, this is it, and people call in and say, I'm making it up. I mean, you can go to whitehouse.gov, PDD 51, and he signed another executive order accompanying it. And then Congress last week, well, 2 weeks ago now, sent letters to the Homeland Security Board. These are handpicked minions. And said, we'd like to see this plan. And he said, and they said, no, you're not allowed to. So that's very important. We can talk about that later, because never has Congress been taken out of the continuity of government. I mean, we're seeing things. Because even I want to say, no, it's going to continue to be incremental. No, it's going to continue to move slowly. No, it's going to, you know, it's not going to be next week or next month. Folks, it could be any time. And so we can walk through that later. But and for people that doubt that they'll kill 2,800 and something on 9/11, or people that will doubt that they'll do all these bad things, it's important that if you've studied military history, and I know Tex has more than I have, you know, he's got a degree in it, you know, and with the military and taught at UT, but just studying basic history or playing chess, you know, the 3,000-year-old Persian game, some argue that India invented it, regardless, Central Asian game, you know that you sacrifice pawns, you sacrifice knights, you sacrifice rooks. If it means you're going to get checkmate, you will occasionally even sacrifice a queen or a bishop if you have to, or your rook. This is something that happens in that game, and you go back 1,000 years, there are writings about, you know, in some Byzantine war or with Napoleon or Lord Wellington or any of these people, both sides would send in a group of troops to be sacrificed to draw out the enemy strength just so a general on a hill 2 miles away could see the enemy's numbers and draw them out, they would send up a couple hundred, a couple thousand, depending on the battle, just to be killed. I've read about actions in Vietnam where they'd put our troops out, or the Vietnamese would put a few troops out, a few hundred, a few thousand, just to draw the enemy in, knowing they're going to get wiped out, but just to get intel. The argument is, well, the end justifies the end, or the end justifies the means, mentality and psychology. So the globalists are like, well, we've got to take over the world and for the greater good set up our world government. And they really believe this, many of them, you know, these Luciferians. We got to kill 2,800 to get this police state in place to set up our glorious Luciferian one world government. We'll do it. And so it's just that military idea of, like they say, when a 2,000-pound bomb goes into the wrong high-rise and kills 500 men, women, and children, they say, collateral damage, no big deal. But then when 500 of ours die, they yell and scream and squeal. It's not because they care about our people. They're using that fear to stir up the beehive. And so people need to consciously understand that. Basic military tacticians, like World War One. I mean, they'd sometimes 20,000 troops would die in a single day. That was to them just war, Tex.
Well, absolutely. You know, in the U.S. Air Force, I actually taught the rules of war. And one of the rules of war was called acceptable losses. When a battle ensues, or when you're planning for one, you say, how many people am I going to lose in a particular operation? And you decide whether that's acceptable. For example, we bombed the oil fields in Romania at Ploiești. And it was believed that we could lose anywhere from, 50 to 70% of our aircraft. And the pilots didn't know this, but the planners, behind closed walls said, this is how many aircraft and pilots we're going to lose, but it's worth it to knock out the oil fields.
Well, I remember in World War II, they would lose, in many cases, 45% of every crew that went out. I mean, half were coming back, or 55%.
Oh yeah, at Ploiești they lost 90%. It was more than they thought.
And then finally, people threw a fit over it. So when both my grandfathers, one was a fighter pilot, one was in a B-17, when the fits got thrown, because they said, "Look, we're willing to die, but not half." But we go out on 22 missions. So they said, "Okay, just 22." Hence the book Catch 22. Because 22 missions, but you've got a 97% chance of dying. Sorry, you're the historian, Tex. Go ahead.
Well, you're right about that. So, I think it's not only that they have acceptable losses, but I believe they have an occult philosophy, and I can prove this. I mean, I've got tons of research on this.
Well, they say as long as they do a bunch of evil, but do good to overshadow it, it's that balance.
Well, there is a balance there. That's right. The yin yang and the synthesis of the Hegelian, poles. But we have to remember that blood, the shedding of blood,
power,
it brings occult power. Vladimir Lenin, during the purges and the horrors of the communist takeover of Russia, when they would give him reports sometime about how many they had slain and how many they had butchered, he would say, "More! We need more blood!" And that was because of the magic. So magic is involved here. But think of the acting of a George W. Bush to actually shed tears and cry over this.
Well, he's actually getting off on it. I've really analyzed.
Yeah.
Whenever he cries, he'll give some weird occultic speech and talk about dark brotherhoods of great evil that thrive on human suffering. And then his eyes swell up, and he's actually pleasuring himself with demonic pleasure, and you start to see joy and tears of joy. I mean, I don't even think it's an act. I think he's relishing it.
Yeah, you remember Field Marshal Rommel?
Yes.
Who gave Montgomery and Eisenhower such fits in North Africa?
Yes.
A great German hero, but he was opposed to the Nazis, and so he, helped to conspire in his plot to kill Hitler.
And so they poisoned him, yeah.
Yeah, well, he was, murdered, basically, forced to.
They took him for a ride, yeah.
Yeah, to kill himself. Or they said, your whole family will die. But once that happened, then, they didn't tell Germany that they had forced him to kill himself. So what they did was held a state funeral. And there was Rommel's wife who knew what had happened, his children. And there was Goering, and there was
Hitler. They came to his house.
Hitler.
And he told her, and if she didn't shut up, he had to get in the car. They drove him down the street and poisoned him.
So here's the whole deal on that. You have the situation where the whole, you know, here Hitler was crying. They said he actually cried at the funeral of Field Marshal Rommel. They had murdered him, but Hitler came forth and he had this big public spectacle and theater, and it was on radio and in the news reels in Germany. The great hero Rommel is dead and Hitler is just stricken with, regret and despair over Rommel's death, but he had murdered the guy. So this is what they do. Hitler cried. Bush cries. Roosevelt, no doubt, expressed great
Hitler
sorrow
was,
at Pearl Harbor.
Hitler was jealous of Rommel from the beginning, and that's why he didn't even give him enough troops. I mean, he would have like 10% of what the Allies had and wouldn't even supply him on purpose.
Wow. So here we have this grand theater. And let's talk a little bit about some of the more recent events. And I'd like to ask you about each one of these and see. I know you've researched them, but people just typically don't know what we're talking about. And let's first go back a little bit. When George Bush Sr. had the American forces to invade Kuwait. Now, evidently, most of the American people did not want to go get involved in the Persian Gulf War. But then something happened. I saw it on TV. I was shocked myself. This young woman came and spoke to Congress and talked about the horrible things the Iraqi troops did at some hospitals there in Kuwait. Tell us about that.
It turned out she'd never been to Kuwait, and she was the daughter of the head of a huge PR firm.
Okay. So she worked for a public relations firm, Hill & Knowlton, right? And our government, and no doubt Israel, had paid Hill & Knowlton probably tens of millions of dollars, so they had this young girl, 14-year-old, put on an act.
Just like the Palestinian children on the day of 9/11, they showed old footage, and they also threw out money and candy to the children to get them to cheer.
Okay, so it had no connection with the actual event then?
No, money and candy, that's now been confirmed.
Wow. So this young girl, obviously the congressional committee knew who she was. They knew she wasn't a Kuwaiti. But when she talked about these Iraqi soldiers going in hospital wards, pediatric wards, and taking premature babies and pulling them out of their machines and throwing them on the floor so that they would die gasping for breath so they could take the medical equipment, ship it back to Iraq to equip the hospitals there, it was all a big lie.
Yes.
But it was such a great lie. What credit we should give these people?
They tried the same thing. Remember last year they claimed Iran was making Jews put yellow stars on?
Oh, yeah.
And that was in the Associated Press, and they had to quietly retract it. It was just completely made up.
So the Iraqis were putting yellow six-pointed stars on Jews?
They claimed the Iranians were making all their people do it.
Oh, the Iranians. Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, the whole thing with the, Ahmadinejad, he's been made into another Hitler. every year they have a new Haman, a new Hitler they have to create. Now they've got, as you just said earlier, they've got this American Al-Qaeda, Ayatollah guy, right?
Yes.
Amazing.
Good, Don. And speaking of Pat Tillman, this is, this dovetails with exactly what you were talking about with Rommel. He's making $3 million a year. His brother joins the military. He decides he's going to join the army with him. He gets shipped over to Iraq, and he said, this war is so bleeping illegal. He finds out it's all a fraud. He was a smart guy, not a dumb guy. Then he goes to Afghanistan. He writes letters back misguided to Noam Chomsky. I think that was his mistake, of the MIT little snake, anti-war leader, saying, I'd like to come back and be part of the anti-war movement. What's the best way for me to do this? And he was dead real fast. But his brother had written letters. He'd written letters. We have those now. About 6, 7, 8 months ago, I talked to his brother, and my radio producer talked to his brother, Kevin Tillman, who wouldn't come on the show at the time, and now his number has since changed. But so we knew they thought it was a murder then. His mother, Pat Tillman, Kevin Tillman's mother, is now on record saying she believes they murdered him. And so about 2 weeks ago on countdown with Keith Olbermann said, well, a lot of evidence is now that he was killed, and even the evil Leslie Clark said, yes, there is evidence to that. And it goes all the way to the top. So here's
what we know. We're going to have to take a real quick break. We need to spend a lot of time on that. My good friend Alex Jones is with me. This is Tex Mars. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Power of Prophecy. Today we're talking about incredible staged murder. That's what it really is. Murder, death, bloodshed. It's real because it's happening, but everything is staged, the true story behind it. Now, Alex Jones has produced an incredible video. Now, we offered it in an earlier edition, but now it's 3 hours and 20 minutes. It is packed with truth. This is one of the most incredible videos you will ever see. It's called Terror Storm. Terror Storm. And I believe what Alex has done, he's done so many videos in the past that were worthy, but this one puts it all together. Watch throughout history as governments have lied, and now the great imperial American government has spawned the greatest of lies. You know, the Bible says that Satan is the very father of liars. And you must have this video, Terror Storm. Now, we're offering it for $25. Please add $4 shipping and handling. Again, ask for Terror Storm. This is the newest edition. Alex has added some wonderful footage in this, so you'll understand exactly what's going on. What really happened in Oklahoma City? What happened to 9/11? Come on, folks. Don't believe what they're telling you. Find out the truth. Terror Storm will tell you that truth. If this video would take off and we could get it into hundreds of thousands of homes, even churches, it could turn this nation around. Terror Storm, produced by Alex Jones. $25, $4 shipping and handling, $29 postpaid. Here's how to get Terror Storm. Go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, and it's going to be right there on the homepage, and click on it and order this video today. It's in DVD, and you must have it. Now, at the same time, you can just phone us toll-free during the work week. And our number here at Power of Prophecy is 1-800, now that's in the USA and Canada, toll free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can write to us and send us $29, check, money, order, or if it's cash, well, put a piece of paper around it and don't let anybody steal it, you know, disguise it a bit. But anyway, $29. Send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708, that's 1708, Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. By the way, our phone number here, if that toll-free number doesn't work because you're overseas, well, then just call us. Our regular line is 512-263-9780. Now, I want to again recommend a great website, Infowars.com. I go to it every day because there are going to be some tidbits of information, well, you're not going to find on these control websites, and that's what they are, WorldNet Daily, Newsmax, Drudge Report. Every once in a while, they'll have good information on those, but watch out. It's manufactured news, friends. But when you want to get the straight skinny, as they used to say, go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. Or even our own conspiracyworld.com. And you're going to find stuff there that will not shake your faith in God, but will make you angry toward the rulers of this world. I guarantee it. Now let's return to our regular program. My good friend Alex Jones is with me. Jack Nicholson, in that movie, he was a Marine colonel. It's what he played. Asked the question, can you handle the truth? You know, I believe the listeners of Power of Prophecy can handle the truth. In fact, we're demanding the truth. Alex, you know, this Jessica Lynch situation, boy, she was made into a woman warrior. Finally, the gals, you know, the feminists had their hero. I mean, she was a female Rambo, the army said, and she was covered. She was on the front covers of Time and Newsweek and U.S. News and World Report, but it was all a lie, wasn't it?
Well, it was, and again, like modern feminism, packaged, oh, we're going to help the women, Gloria Steinem admits she was hired by the CIA. She thinks it's great, but she admits she was hired by the CIA, Miss Magazine was financed. Really what they wanted was the same thing Hitler and Stalin wanted. They wanted the children out of the women's hands so the state could raise them and so they could tax the women as well as the men. And then now the society's geared where, you know, my wife works part-time, but still works because I need her to. I mean, that's how the economy is geared. They have totally ruined things, and it's the same thing. Oh, women in frontline combat, Bill Clinton, let's give women their rights. No, the new bills they've introduced for the last 4 years straight, both parties, the National Compulsory Service Act, is going to draft our little girls. They're going to do this after the next big terror attack. They're going to try. They admit they have. They want our girls in national service as well, and they want to stick them in the meat grinder and use them as camp women, camp prostitutes as well. And that's basically what ends up happening. Studies in Israel and in Russia, when they put women down in the foxholes with the men, things just fall apart quickly. And so they needed this poster girl. So there's this convoy during the main invasion going in. They're in a dust storm. They run into Republican Guard. And I've got all the names, and this story's now all admitted. People can just Google it and search it out and pull up the stories. But I forget the name of the main Hispanic fellow who got up on top of the truck and fought him off, and he got killed with a white guy and a black guy. And they grabbed a few of them and took them to this facility to hold them, and they took the dead bodies too. But then they got overrun, so they pulled out, and the Army doctors and the civilian doctors there at this mainline big hospital went up to the lines and said, and this is 3 days before, they actually went to, quote, rescue her and said, we got Jessica Lynch and all these other people. Here's their names. Here's their dog tags. You've overrun this area. Come on into the hospital. And the troops called to say, can we go get her? And they said, no, hold back. The BBC reported as a footnote, the big Hollywood producer who's used in all these propaganda films like Black Hawk Down and others, Jerry Bruckheimer, he's even bigger than Spielberg right now, they called him and the Pentagon consulted him over sat video on how to script the entry. So they had Army Special Forces go in and kick down the hospital door and breach doors and put guns to people's heads and claim that they'd fought back and killed all these Republican Guard to get in there and save her. So even the rescue is staged. And then images of the helicopters landing and this daring rescue and killing Republican Guard. No one had been there for almost 3 days. The doctors were there being beaten, being hit with, you know, pistol whip, knocked down. Jessica Lynch cowers under her blanket. They run in and save her. And then they tell her, you're going to tell the world that you fought and then you were bayoneted and, you know, you fought until they came and bayoneted you and you killed dozens of them. And she was the new Audie Murphy up on top the truck with a medium machine gun shooting like, you know, Audie Murphy and the Germans. Wasn't true. She had cowered in fear. The men had fought and, yes, been wiped out and killed. And there have been just a few survivors from her unit. And then suddenly she comes back. It starts coming out from members of her unit that they were mad that she'd been a coward. She'd cowered in fear. And then suddenly one was in Phoenix. It happened to four others in a week period. No, four total. Now, one guy was barbecuing, and he complained to the local paper. Somebody pops up from behind the privacy fence in a middle-class neighborhood with a black mask on and double-taps from 20 yards. Now, it's one thing to double-tap a target to hit a bullseye, but to double-tap somebody on the fly when you're really killing somebody, that's a professional, puts two bullets in his head, blows his head off. Another lady who's been speaking out gets pulled over, gets drowned. Another man gets his head bashed in. He's thrown off of a bridge into a river. Another person blows their head off, shoots themselves in the back of the head, and Jessica Lynch comes out and says, it's all a fable, it's all a fable, it's all a lie, right when her book's coming out. They told me to lie, none of it's real, I'm a coward. So that just got shut down real quick. So there's an example of where they were killing people who were speaking out saying it was a fraud. And then I got on air, and I doubt she got word from my people, but the point is I got on air and I said, Jessica, they're going to kill you next and claim you died of suicide, you were so upset, or you died in a car wreck. You're dead unless you come out and say it's a fraud now, because they want to make you a hero and claim you died and then shut you up at the same time. She went on air, said it's all a fable. That's her word. It was all staged. She used that word, all scripted. They told her what to say. It was all a lie.
Wow.
All a lie, all scripted from the start to finish, and then enter Pat Tillman.
You know, it's interesting. I remember reading And I don't remember the source. It may have been Time Magazine or whatever. But she was introduced, I believe, at a football game, Jessica Lynch, right after the incident. And, you know, the people there in West Virginia, where she came from, there she came out and she was crippled a little bit. I felt sorry for her, wearing her uniform. And, boy, they just went crazy for her. They made her into a terrific hero there in West Virginia. And they interviewed a couple of guys, and one guy said, if anybody says this really didn't happen just like the government said it, I'll kill them. He was so mad. He wanted her to be a hero. Many Americans want heroes. They want a Pat Tillman. They want a Jessica Lynch. And they'll kill you if you disabuse them. If you discover that it's all a lie, they'll get mad at you. I believe a lot of Americans, you know, they're angry at you and me for exposing 9/11. They don't care that 3,000 people were murdered by our own government or by the Israeli Mossad. It makes them feel good, patriotic. Go out and kill the enemy. They get angry at those who expose it. They say, you're anti-American. You should, even if it is true, you should just shut up and...
Oh, by the way, there was a big editorial written by some colonel, I forget his name, but it was all over the web, but it was in a syndicated mainline newspaper column about a year ago when this first all started coming out on Tillman, and he said, okay, they knew he died in friendly fire. He was still falling back on that. But they have multiple layers of lies. First, he was charging bin Laden, and then he was charging al-Qaeda, and then he was, okay, it's friendly fire, but he still has courage. You know, as if we were saying he didn't have courage. So there's layers of the lies, but that's exactly what happened. He said, well, let this good man sacrifice. Let him be a hero. Let's just lie for the war. He actually said that.
Okay, well, let's look at this. Pat Tillman. Tell a little bit about him, because I believe he was a hero. Now, if you know what I mean.
Oh, he certainly was.
In
he
one
got
sort of way.
$1 million a year.
He was a patriotic young man. So a lot of people don't even know who he was. Let's start from the beginning. Tell about his NFL career and what happened to him. Just let's go from A to Z here.
String, what was it, tight end. And he was making $3.5 million a year. And he had another 3 or 4 years left. And so he's turning down, I don't know, what's 3 or 4 times, $3.5 million. That's a lot of money to turn down for anybody. And even if you don't worship money like most Americans, that's a lot of money to turn down. And his brother was getting in. They were mad about 9/11. And he said, let's go over there and kick some butt. And he thought he was going to go to Afghanistan. They sent him to Iraq. That happened right along with the invasion. And he wrote back letters saying this war is so bleeping illegal. He started telling his unit this. He got sent to Afghanistan. After a year in Iraq, he gets over to Afghanistan. He sees them cultivating poppies. He sees the poppy crop exploding. He criticized that. He didn't like the fact that they never really went after the Taliban, and that gets into a whole other subject of how 2 months into the invasion, they fly out all the al-Qaeda Taliban leaders to Pakistan, and they airlift to Kabul. The U.S. Air Force does. That's New Yorker Magazine, Times of London. That's all in my film, A Road to Tyranny, that you also carry. And so he's seeing all this type of stuff, and so he starts speaking out. His brother really starts publicly speaking out. He contacts anti-war leaders, which I believe was his mistake, because I believe Noam Chomsky's controlled and passed on the relevant info. I'm not saying he's involved. The point is just that was one of the last things he did. He said in a letter, when I get back, I want to go on tour. I'll pay for it all. I just want to, he's a multimillionaire. I want to go around everywhere and tell everybody this, what's really happened here. The Pentagon had literally, admittedly, gotten hundreds of thousands of recruits. They were using him in TV ads. I mean, he was the royal flush of recruiting. He was the creme de la creme. You can't ask better than a top NFL star joining the military. I mean, that's the stuff of World War II when, top pitchers were joining the Air Force and the Army.
Well, it looked like an incredible deal for the Bush administration and the military.
Exactly. The problem was this was a moral person, and he was also somewhat intellectual. And as soon as he got over there, I mean, look, I was almost sucked in. I knew 9/11 was an inside job that day, but I still wanted to go after somebody. I mean, it's primitive. And so he gets over there. He finds out it's a fraud. It's like Corey Rowe, who made the loose change video. I can tell you that story. That's up on the web. You can watch the interview at Google Video. I mean, he signed up. And he went over there right after 9/11. He was in the invasion of Afghanistan. He was in Iraq, and then he's against it. But side issue. The point is that in major polls, it's now over 80%. It was 70% a year ago. Now it's over 80% say it's a fraud because they go over and they see the reality. They're not hearing the propaganda. They are seeing what it is. They are, you know, they know it's a fraud. So Pat Tillman starts. He's about to get out. Pat Tillman is criticizing. They want him to come back and propagandize. He first says no to that. Then they send him to Afghanistan. Then he wants to come back, and he's saying he's going to speak out against it. He's shooting his mouth off. And what we know is that they claimed that they shot him at 300 meters or 980-something feet. Then it turned out that his body had been shot full of holes. They claimed that he'd been charging up a hill, leading an assault on an al-Qaeda stronghold, and they even said could have been bin Laden. I remember at first he was charging, and then it was, well, bin Laden wasn't there. It was top al-Qaeda. Then it was, well, al-Qaeda wasn't there. It was top Taliban. And then, well, Taliban wasn't there. They thought they were getting shot at. We're not sure who was shooting at him. Then it was, well, it was 100 meters. Well, it was 200 yards. And then about 9 months ago, it was in the San Francisco Chronicle, a Army colonel, and his name's out there. You can go pull it up. We've written several articles at PrisonPlanet.com. All the names are there. This Army colonel says, we believed it was homicide and called for it to be investigated as a fragging, and we were told, stand down, and then special investigators came in and took over from us. Now, AP reported 2 weeks ago, they've gotten the blacked out, two different Army Criminal Investigation Division colonels, because it's always high-level people, Army coroners, looked at his body. Most of it's blacked out, but it fits with the reports we got from people in the unit and his brother, who I talked to. He was shot up head to toe. And so this is how much we do know happened. At less than 10 yards away, well, at first they were about 50 yards away, and someone, the unit first wasn't even sure who, shot him, but it went into the body armor, but it still fractured and went through, but he was badly injured. He fell down behind rocks, pushed two of his men down and said, stay down, started screaming and cussing, you idiots, I'm Pat Tillman, you idiots. He stands up, they shoot him again, this time in the shoulders and arms, because, you know, the rest is going into heavy body armor. He falls down again in his ballistics plate because most guys get tired and don't want to carry it. He was an NFL guy. He would wear full armor, you know, full ballistics plates, you know, weighs like 20 pounds on his chest. So that was saving him. He sticks his hand up and says, stop it. They shoot his hand. They're coming up on him. And from less than 10 yards, they triple tapped with a three burst at less than 3 inches, which is impossible, you know, from the yardage. I mean, precision firing directly into his forehead. And everybody was told to shut up. They stripped his body. They buried his uniform. They stole his diary. And then they formulated the fake story. He'd been just filled head to toe with bullets.
Mm.
And then they told everybody to shut up, and they put out the story that he was fighting bin Laden and died valiantly. And now the family is starting to go public. We told people 8-9 months ago that we talked to Kevin Tillman, but he wasn't ready to go on air with this. We said, hey, there's this colonel in the San Francisco Chronicle. Hey, we've heard it's a murder. And he said, yeah, we know it is, but you know, we're waiting while we get more, you know, evidence and more documents before we go public because we're afraid they're going to clamp down on the investigation. And so they were pretty smart about it. And now they're saying they believe he was murdered. Now, then the White House comes in and Rumsfeld comes in, and Rumsfeld claims even weeks into the investigation he wasn't involved. That's pure baloney. And as they've said on even on MSNBC, something like this would go all the way to the top within minutes of Pat Tillman being killed. And it did, and now the three-star general has been demoted one star, so they're doing him as a sacrificial lamb, admitting that he ordered the cover-up. But with normal chain of command, he wouldn't have ordered that within 24 hours of this happening without the Secretary of Defense ordering that. And then Rumsfeld testified a week ago that he never even knew months in. He just wasn't involved in it because he doesn't get involved in the chain of command. A bald-faced, manifest lie. So with the cover-up from the hires up, all the evidence points towards they ordered his murder. Bare minimum, he was fragged for whatever reason, though he was popular in his unit, and then the White House covered that up.
Now, you know, I'm reading from Associated Press. It says Rumsfeld denies cover-up in Tillman case, August the 1st. Here's an interesting thing. Retired General Richard Myers, who's Air Force General, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said he learned of the likelihood of friendly fire toward the end of April. Now, remember, Tillman, Alex, was cut down on April the 22nd. So within a few days, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said he heard about it. Well, then the Congressional Committee asked the general, why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you do anything? And remember, not only did they cover this up, but they attempted, as you well stated.
For months, they had him on every magazine recruiting. Don't let his death be in vain. He was almost had his hands around Bin Laden's throat.
Like you say, he was another Audie Murphy, you know, guy. They gave him the Silver Star, but it appeared like he deserved the Medal of Honor the way they were going. But listen to what Myers said. When asked why he didn't, you know, unravel the cover-up, knowing that it was all a lie, and even that they gave the Silver Star decoration posthumously to his family, here's what he says, quote, this is General Myers, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I don't think there's any regulation that would require me to do anything.
Yeah, it's a big deal to give false medals. That is a felony.
He knew it. He knew this false Silver Star. Well, I mean, the guy was murdered, or at the least it was a quote-unquote accident. And then, but it's okay to pretend and make like he was a great hero and leading own the 600 into the Valley of Death.
It is definitely not friendly fire. The question is, was he fragged by somebody who didn't like him, or was it an order to hit him? And all the Lego pieces fit in and say it was an order to hit directly from the White House.
Okay, now Cindy Shaham is just a housewife, and yet she has bedeviled Dick Cheney and George Bush and the whole Pentagon. I mean, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, they've been going nuts over this Cindy Shaham, this little mild housewife who has opposed this war and has gotten hundreds of thousands of followers out there listening to her. But wait, compared to Cindy Shaham, this guy, Tillman, Corporal Tillman, former NFL football star, who had turned against the war, saw the lie in it. He had planned in his own letters. He told his family. He told this Professor Chomsky, he's going to come back and lead the anti-war effort. I mean, if Cindy Shaham bedeviled him so much, Alex,
he would have been 1,000 times that.
Wow, that might have ended the whole war, their whole shenanigan, their whole lying schema.
How would you call Pat Tillman a coward? By the way, I've been on Hot Air. That's what it's called. That's not a joke. Michelle Malkin put everybody in camps. She wrote a book about putting Americans in camps. On her website, on other sites, they are saying on there, and I'm not kidding, we got screenshots of this, good, I'm glad he's dead. He he's a traitor. He just wanted to go get a big name for himself. He needs to be fragged. These are vicious little demons. They're not real conservatives.
Yeah, Michelle Malkin and all those people, they're devils. People like her and this Jewish guy that was on O.J. Simpson's defense team, this lawyer that wrote the book recommending torture.
Yeah, that's Dershowitz.
Alan Dershowitz. These people are monsters. They're bloody monsters promoting torture and horror. And of course, Myers should be ashamed of himself. I don't think there's any regulation that would require me to do anything about this. The whole lie process here.
Well, see, that's the lie.
Has he ever heard of conduct unbecoming an officer? Boy, go ahead, Alex.
Well, it's like 2 years ago, before they kicked her out again in Congress, Cynthia McKinney brings up to Rumsfeld, hey, Dinecore and Halliburton are running child kidnapping rings. Here's the news article. And you haven't even stopped them getting contracts. And Rumsfeld said, yeah, we're not supposed to. He says, we put them in the penalty box. She goes, we haven't even done that. And he goes, well, whatever. And she goes, well, trillions are missing from the Pentagon. He goes, yeah, none of your business. It's just, yeah, we lie and cover stuff up. But this is the big thing. Bush signed PDD 51 in early May, and it says that under any emergency internationally, any type of economic emergency, anything, Bush now is over total control. He granted himself new powers, which he can't do, but he did it. This is classic dictator. And, of course, he'll probably just pass the powers on to Hillary, and it'll all be quietly done. But this has never before happened. I mean, this is putting a loaded gun to America's head. and said that in under any circumstance, Congress doesn't even have authority anymore, and that Congress is titular and a vestigial. And then Congress, the Homeland Security Committee came and said, we'd like to view your continuity plan, and Bush's White House said, and the letter is public now, said, you're no longer involved in this. We run things. No, you can't see it. So, because that's what the PDD says. You can't see the actual plan, but read the order. You're not involved in this now. I mean, he made himself dictator, and we're already under a national emergency. They re-extend it each year. And I'm telling you, folks, you got to go to Power and Privacy. You got to get Terror Storm. You got to make copies of it. Get it out to friends and family because it exposes who the terrorists are. It exposes the propaganda. It exposes what we're facing. That's what Fox News and all these channels are for, is to neutralize real conservatives just long enough for them to bring in their new world order. And it is so important right now, ladies and gentlemen, that we all redouble and then redouble again our efforts, because these are cold-blooded people. These are the same people that set up Hitler, the same people that set up Stalin. This is the very same crowd who want to do these things, these horrible things domestically. And I have to tell you, though, Hitler was popular until near the end. Stalin was even popular with some people. The globalists are totally unpopular, but they got so much chutzpah, aplomb, bravado, machismo, whatever you want to call it, that they're going full bore ahead with this. And I don't know what's going to happen. I know I'm praying that God put a hedge up around Christians and the Christians stand up and fight this evil, because, I mean, I literally can barely sleep at night now. This is so exciting. And in a bad way, by the way, folks. I mean, if you wanted to see it all coming to a head, I mean, we are entering the most incredible times we will ever see. And I think even though we're blessed and cursed, the old Chinese parable of may you live in interesting times, that we are the salt of the earth, and that it is our job to shine bright right now with the truth of the Lord Jesus to everybody out there, because this is the time, folks. We are entering the most serious times ever. I think it's just going to get more crazy from here.
Alex, you're absolutely right. This could be the big one. You know, even this very month of August, and I'm not predicting this, but remember 1914, it was August. They call it the Guns of August in 1914, when World War I exploded. It was in August when both Hitler and Stalin attacked Poland from either side and basically just divided it up. They divided up Poland. And, of course, we took one side, Stalin's, against Hitler, and just conveniently overlooked the fact that Stalin had just invaded Finland and other countries and Poland, and even had the Ribbentrop, pact in which he divided with Hitler. They had a pact to invade Poland and to split it up between them. So those things happened in August. And right now it seems like we're headed toward a war of some kind with Iran. And that's what they want. They want this constant turmoil, don't they?
Well, absolutely. And the way they've hyped all these new Al-Qaeda tapes and re-edited old Bin Laden tapes they later admit are edited, but that's page 3 is a one-inch column in the cover story. Nobody even remembers the retraction or don't see it. And the hype about the next 90 days, this Mossad guy says we're going to be hit on Fox News, and Chertoff feels it in his gut. Folks, we're in a key juncture right now. We need to all be praying, but also at the same time, putting it into action and getting the word out to everybody.
There you go. There you go. And I'll tell you, Terror Storm, that video is the way to go. People must have Terror Storm, and show it to your friends and neighbors. Show it to church groups, civic groups. Go down to your library and try to get some folks to come and watch it. Alex, it's been a great pleasure being with you. I look forward to being on your program tomorrow, and God bless you in your work.
I look forward to having you on, Tex, and we ought to extend this discussion about lying tomorrow on the show.
That sounds good to me. Folks, you've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My guest today has been Alex Jones. He has a tremendous new video out, Terror Storm. We're offering it through the ministry. I pray, dear friends, that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.